Well, isn't this exciting? The first Fantasy Football Today podcast without Adam Azer as the host. Adam has moved on to New York City. It is just me, Dave Richard, along with Jamie Eisenberg from CBSSports.com. Say hello, Jamie.
Hello, Jamie.
And this is the first podcast we're doing without Adam. It's also going to be the last. Adam has agreed to stay on with CBSSports.com.
Brett Favre?
While he lives in New York, he has pulled a Favre. So while he's not here for this week's episode, we do expect him to chime in on future episodes, and future meaning everything else. We are going to talk about the future.
Have you seen the movie A Few Good Men?
Of course.
Do you think most people have seen the movie A Few Good Men?
I think so.
Do you know that Adam has not seen the movie A Few Good Men?
That doesn't surprise me in the least. He hasn't seen a lot of movies that he needs to see, and he likes a lot of movies that a lot of people just don't like.
We have a coworker here, Jay Darren Darst, who did a very funny Facebook rant about Deflategate, where he used Jack Nicholson's speech about how you want me on that wall, you need me on that wall. Instead, he used Bill Belichick. You want me at that Super Bowl. You need me at that Super Bowl. And it was very funny. And I sent it to Adam because he hadn't seen it. And he said, I don't get it. Is he just going crazy? And I said,
What
are you talking about? It's the Few Good Men Jack Nicholson rant. He goes, oh, haha. Like, it must be funny. I've never seen it. So I said, thank you for our podcast joke of the day.
Yes, exactly. Do you have anything to say about Deflategate while we're here?
No.
Good. Neither do I. That'll cover Deflategate for us here on the Fantasy Football Today podcast. We are going to get to a lot of emails, some thoughts on the conference championships, a lot of coaching changes. We want to talk about the players impacted. Got some news and notes. I don't know what newts has to do with it, but we'll have some of that too. Jamie, I'll begin with an email of the day. This is from Nick in Plainville, Massachusetts. Hey, Matt, Brian, and Jimmy.
Matt, Brian, and Jimmy.
Too vague for me. I don't think I can get it. Oh, wait a minute. Is it backup Patriots quarterbacks? Matt Castle, Brian Hoyer, Jimmy Garoppolo? That's what it is.
Could be.
Slam dunk. With Azer's pick of the Ravens not coming to a fruition, which players were the biggest busts of the year? And he's got a personal pick. Maybe this is someone you'd consider as your fantasy bust of the year. Cordarrelle Patterson. Nick spent a third-round pick on him in my 20-team league, had no wide receiver depth the whole year, which is kind of a problem in a 20-team league.
Sure.
When you take a guy like Cordarrelle Patterson. I exchanged emails with a fellow who drafted Cordarrelle Patterson and then traded him straight up for Arian Foster after week one. He watched the game in week one, and he goes, yeah, Cordarrelle Patterson's no good. Remember, Patterson had a monster game on the ground, had like a huge long run for a touchdown, had a big game on the ground, couldn't do anything catching the ball because the Vikings didn't really throw the ball that much in the game. So I asked him, you know, how'd you know? How'd you do that? Because that's amazing to me because Cordarrelle Patterson was a guy we were just so high on. And he's like, yeah, just didn't think he could do that. So he'll be in here hosting the podcast instead of us.
The thing about Foster was a lot of people could have gotten him in some cases as your third running back if you went running back early. In your
first three picks.
No, but if you picked early in the round.
Sure, like Jamal Charles first overall, and then like Le'Veon might have been there for you in round two, and then back-to-back pick with Foster in round three. Yeah, that could have been that. Okay, Jamie, your overall thoughts on the conference championship?
So who's your biggest bust of 20?
Oh, Adrian Peterson.
14?
For me, it's Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, I don't qualify him as a bust because he didn't
get hurt, though.
He didn't get hurt, he didn't play. I don't think he qualifies as a bust to me.
A lot of people draft him with obvious expectations.
Yeah, but you could never predict this. This is something you could never predict. Failure to perform is something you could say, I thought this guy was going to do well, like Patterson, and he failed.
I get it.
To me, it was LeSean
McCoy. How about the fact that, I understand that, but McCoy still finishes a top 15.
Yeah, but you picked him to be one or two.
The thing that I don't like about Adrian Peterson is not only did he not play after week one, but there was a tease that he might come back late in the season. So people ran to waivers to pick him up and hope he would come through.
So he was a bust twice. No, you should have run to pick him up if you had the opportunity with a dead roster spot, because if he did come back to play, you would have A, see what you could get from him, or B, keep him away from somebody else. I don't think it's fair to call him a bust. I just don't think that you could say if you're going to call him a bust, you have to tell me somebody in 2015 that's not going to play because of non-football related things.
Okay, fine, I will.
Stead has high Steven expectations.
Jackson. Oh, well, see, now you're giving
no, well, that's the thing.
No, I don't think, but we're not in the business of predicting crazy crap happening to players in the offseason.
That's why you can't call him a bust.
Ray Rice either. You could call Ray Rice a bust similarly.
No, you can't. But I because think there's no way you can look at this and say, I expect him not to play.
Your fantasy team if you drafted Adrian Peterson. It puts you in a gigantic hole.
But you could never see this coming.
Equivalent to him tearing an ACL suspended for the year.
It's not.
Absolutely.
How is it equivalent?
Because he didn't play.
Because he hit his child and he got suspended by the NFL?
He did not play. Now listen, if a guy tears his ACL, I guess I won't call him a bust for that. This guy just he did something stupid. It cost him on the field.
I don't think
it
it's
cost
fair
the
to
Vikings
call him
on the field, and it cost, to a much lesser degree, of course, it cost all of us that had him in fantasy football. And I'm not a bitter guy. I might have had him in one league, one or two leagues. I might have drafted Adrian Peterson. But yeah, I thought that he's a bust. If I can't go with him, then I would go with Cordarrelle Patterson because expectations were high, and he sucked the life out of all of us. New England 45, Indianapolis 7. Bad, bad game for all of the Colts players. But I'm going to ask you this question. Andrew Luck, I think, is going to be a top two quarterback for everybody. It's
Should
either going to be him or
he
Aaron
was
Rodgers.
Number one this year.
He was number one this year. What do you need to see for him to jump over Aaron Rodgers and be the number one quarterback in your rankings?
Well, they have potentially two receivers to replace. One is probably going to be replaced by Dante Moncrief, you would assume, if Akeem Nicks is gone as a free agent and Reggie Wayne potentially retires. So I think they have a very good tight end combination, probably the best tight end combination in the NFL. They have a legitimate number one guy who could potentially even be upgraded if they found the right player to upgrade him with, like at Demaryius Thomas, for example. So I think you look at if they can upgrade their offensive line, they could upgrade another receiver, do something with their running game to improve it, to help Andrew Luck stop taking a beating and stop having to throw so much and be a more Aaron Rodgers-like efficiency, have more Aaron Rodgers-like efficiency. But I think it comes down to when you look at Rodgers and Luck, and then I'll throw Breeze into the conversation and Manning now that he's expected to return, Brady as well. It comes down to your personal choice. You know, if you want to take, because these guys are going to be still, unfortunately, because nobody listens, back end of round one,
so
early
in
round
other words,
two.
You're not going to get them, and anybody who listens to you is not going to get them.
No, but you can get one of these guys because one of these guys will trickle to round three, no matter what we say.
One of the five you mentioned.
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't think all five of these guys
I'm kind of fixated on Rodgers versus Luck right now.
No, but what I'm getting at is
figuring most leagues are going to be first-round picks.
Again, it depends. I think it comes down to your choice. Do you want to be the guy that pulls the trigger first on whoever you like? You'll do so, and it'll be whoever you like. There's a track record with Rodgers. There's an up-and-coming factor with Luck. I feel a little bit more comfortable with Rodgers for whatever reason. He does have a tougher schedule next year.
He does have a tougher schedule. Would you like to hear the opponents for Indianapolis, by the way?
Sure.
Just bringing it up now. I know they have 10 dome games. They'll be outdoors for six. You obviously know they play their division opponents twice each. They are home against Denver, New England, the Jets, the Saints, and the Buccaneers. They're on the road against Buffalo, Miami, Atlanta, Carolina, and the Steelers. I don't know. I don't think it's so bad. The AFC East could have some really stingy defenses, though. That's a division that I think could really bounce back and have some tough matchups for quarterbacks to have. So for that reason, I might lean with you and say Aaron Rodgers is the better quarterback. I'm excited to see what Dante Moncrief can do this offseason, and I think he's going to be a good sleeper pick at wide receiver. He's going to get taken in every league. I figure he's going to be in that round 8 to 10 type mix. T.Y. Hilton, I think, has ascended to where he pretty much is, a third-year breakout for sure. Did nothing in the game against New England, but whatever.
That's the next thing for him is learning how to beat the elite guys because he struggled with the elite guys this year.
And Andrew Luck just gives him such a chance to do big things. You know what I mean? Like Luck at quarterback just makes T.Y. Hilton even better.
And well, his ability,
numbers could be even better next year.
His ability to escape pressure and make plays with his legs, he's basically what Rodgers was when Rodgers was breaking out. You know, where he ran, you know, Rodgers, I think, still has the ability to run, the calf injury notwithstanding, but he's run less. Rodgers, Luck will start to run a little bit less, but he knows how to, you know, use his legs to help him, which helps fantasy owners. He knows how to, you know, take advantage of poor situations. Because look, I mean, his team has really let him down.
Right.
We talked about this after the Bengals Colts game. If you were to put Andrew Luck on the Colts, Andrew Luck on the Bengals,
right?
That's probably the best team in the NFL.
Could be, no doubt about it. Better offensive line. Probably better weapons overall around him. Certainly the run game, better weapons there too.
Better defense.
Yeah, T.Y. Hilton this year, 82 catches, 1,345 yards, 7 touchdowns. I think he can do better than that next year. I think he can improve on those numbers.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the yards maybe came down a little bit as they move him around more. But the touchdowns need to come. I mean, remember, he had a 2-touchdown game against Joe Hayden, so. Spread the touchdowns
out. Yeah, sure. I hear you. That came late in the year, too. That was really nice to have. And he really stunk toward the end of the year. He got banged up.
I think that was
I think actually even better.
The Cleveland game was week 14 was the last time he scored a touchdown.
I think you're right. Is the running back for the Colts next year on the roster right now?
The starter?
The starting running back for the Colts.
Because
Ahmad Bradshaw is a free agent. They don't have to bring him back if they don't want to. They might bring him back to compete for playing time or what have you. I think Trent Richardson's done. I think they know what they've gotten him. They're going to admit the mistake on him, and they're going to let him go. Dan Heron's a nice running back, certainly came in handy down the stretch for him. I don't see him as an every-down type guy. I've got him ranked kind of as a placeholder for the Colts running back. He's my highest-ranked Colts running back. But I could see this team spending one of their first three picks on draft day on a running back.
I think they would get crucified if they drafted
a
running
back. In the first round? Yeah. Right. But maybe the second round, the third round?
Right, because it's such a deep class. There'll be a lot of talent coming out of college. So there is a chance for them to improve there. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if what they do is let Bradshaw sit out there post-draft, because I don't know how many teams will have an interest in him coming off another injury.
Mm-hmm.
His most value is probably to the Colts. Let him sit out there, see what they can do in the draft. They also have Vic Ballard coming back from torn ACL.
Yep.
To add some depth there.
Yeah, but I don't know if I'm counting on him.
No, I'm just talking about depth, you know, not as a starter.
Okay.
Because it'll be Heron, probably rookie, and then probably some sort of an older guy like a Bradshaw, and then Ballard as well.
Who do you like better between Fleener and Dwayne Allen next year?
Dwayne Allen still. I think there's more upside with him. Had he not gotten hurt toward the end of the season, I think you would have seen him surpass Fleener. But Fleener had a very good year, 770-some-odd yards. I think it was 8 touchdowns is what he finished with. So he had a very quiet, great season. He got really good from that New England game on when Allen had the hip and ankle, and then the hamstring problem.
I feel like Allen was definitely more consistent. He had 8 or more fantasy points, which is good for a tight end. 8 is good in 7 of 12 games. Very good consistency rate for him.
Mm-hmm.
Fleener wasn't nearly as good. He had some big games, but he also had a lot of duds. He had 6 games with 8 or more fantasy points. Out of 16, that's a 37.5 percentage rate for him being successful. But I'm with you on Dwayne Allen ahead of Kobe Fleener.
The one thing with Fleener, though, would be what they do with their receiving core. Because if, let's say, they go young again, you know, bring in somebody else, so that's Hilton, Moncrief,
and a
young guy, then Fleener's going to see a ton of playing time.
I agree. I think, and I almost think that makes sense for them if they really want to stock up on defense and offensive line. You kind of punt your needs at wide receiver for a year.
You will see older receivers, and I don't want to use this guy as the player who it will be, but you'll see guys like Kotchery and you know, just guys that are like hanging on, sign for like Nicks, you know, sign a 1-year deal to play with a great quarterback.
They might bring Nicks back because he's not as old as some of those other
Guys. Well, I guess what I'm getting at is somebody that's not in the best situation, but will take it's almost like you see it more in the NBA. Guys will take a 1-year kind of prove-it deal.
Yeah, you see that. Hakeem Nicks did that this year.
You don't see a lot. You know, not a cash grab, but just a 1-year situation to be around a great quarterback,
right,
with the hopes that he can help that guy put up big numbers.
Yep, I think you're right about that. I don't know if I want to get into the Patriots much because there's a Super Bowl yet to be played,
and
we can get into that. But, yeah, blowout win for New England. They're running on all cylinders.
How did your playoff challenge team do?
Not well, because I don't think I changed my lineup for the conference championship games.
But
my FanDuel teams did great.
Mine did too. I saved, the way it worked out, I have the entire Patriots offensive guys.
Nice.
So I have every spot filled for the Super Bowl. So I have Brady, Vereen, Blunt, mm-hmm. LaFell, Edelman, Gronk, Gostkowski.
I'm pretty sure Pickett. I have all my transactions left. I'm not going to win, obviously, because I didn't set a lineup last week and half of my team was Cowboys. But I could set a lineup this week and see how I can
do. Yeah, I think
do.
I'm in our buddy group, which is over 300 people. I'm 27th.
Nice, man.
Like 30 points out of first.
Awesome. Well, you're feeling better than the Green Bay Packers are right now. They had a big lead on Seattle. They blew it. In what I think will go down as the best game of the year, and certainly one of the most just like jaw-dropping games you'll ever see in the National Football League. It's an all-timer between the Seahawks and the Packers. Seahawks won. They advanced to the Super Bowl. Let's run down Green Bay and what the future's like in Wisconsin. Aaron Rodgers, obviously, elite-tier quarterback. We already talked about him and how we like him better than Andrew Luck. Randall Cobb is a free agent this year. Let's just say that he does. They don't franchise him. He goes, he signs a huge deal with a Jacksonville or a Cleveland or a Tennessee or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that downgrade Aaron Rodgers a ton for you, or have you seen enough from Davante Adams and the other guys that someone should step up and help out in that Green Bay passing game?
They would need a slot receiver, you know, because I think that's so important to Rodgers. Because I think no matter what happens, if Cobb comes back, it's still going to be Adams and Nelson on the outside and Cobb, you know, playing mm-hmm. inside. So they would need to find some sort of complementary option to, you know, man the middle of the field there. Or, you know, maybe we see some more from a Richard Rodgers, you know, because he needs to
I think he's
play
their
better.
Guy.
Yeah, I think so too, but he needs to prove it. I mean, because right now Corliss is their guy, and he's just not a very elite-level type player.
He's entering – Corliss, I checked on this. He's entering a contract year. They could actually save – $1.5 million off the cap. It's not much, but whatever if they let him go now. So maybe Corliss is given the boot. I don't think Brandon Bostic's going to be back. Just a hunch. And and I think Richard Rodgers is definitely opening the door to be a breakout tight end candidate and somebody to keep in your back pocket for the late rounds and drafts this summer. He's one of four second-year tight ends, or will be second-year tight ends. It did not work out so well this year. It really tight end.
Just one.
And I just got done writing this, but yeah, only one breakout tight end, and he kind of sort of broke out. Like he had Travis Kelce is who it is. Just he had some good games, but like no one is as consistent as Gronk or as Jimmy Graham when he's healthy, or Julius Thomas when he's healthy. So the position's really kind of boom or bust. Like. To huge degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're not taking a tight end within the first 30 picks, you're not getting one until at least round 7, I think is the way it goes. Greg Olsen might be that guy for you. I think he's the fourth best.
There's no way he's there in round 7.
You think he gets taken before then?
Yeah, absolutely.
Greg Olsen?
Yep.
I'm going to let somebody do that. That's no problem for me. Jordy Nelson, stud, top-tier fantasy wide receiver. Nothing's changing there. Amazing at home. Not as good on the road, but still somebody that fantasy owners are going to take and plug into lineups. And I think Davante Adams has shown enough flash down the stretch, certainly in the playoff game against Dallas, where he's got a great future in Green Bay too. And he was a receiver that I liked a lot when he came out, and I think he's going to have some good opportunities with Aaron Rodgers. I almost think I like him. I like him better than Dante Moncrief, and that'll especially be the case if Cobb leaves. If Cobb stays, then I reserve the right to flip-flop and go Moncrief ahead of Adams, depending on what Indianapolis does at wide receiver, and depending on how Moncrief looks during training camp.
Sure.
Eddie Lacy, superstar.
Number 2 running back for me.
I think he's going to be there for me, too. I think I'm going to put him number 2 as well, with the caveat being that you've got to get his backup. Whoever it is, whether it's Starks or whether they bring in somebody else, he's missed one game each of his first two seasons. We made such a big deal about injuries, and he might break down. He suffered a concussion each season, but when he's played, he's been fantastic. One of the
most consistent
running backs.
It's the Peyton Manning effect. When you have an elite quarterback,
right.
You don't face a lot of, you know, 8-man fronts.
Yeah, and he's just taking advantage of a really good situation.
Yep.
And just like we do with the Patriots, we'll talk about the Seahawks players. Marshawn Lynch is going to be an interesting guy for us to talk about. We'll do that next week. Let's talk about some of the coaching moves that have gone on around the NFL in the past 2 weeks or so. John Fox moving from Denver to Chicago. Vic Fangio joins him as the defensive coordinator. I think it's the biggest upgrade that probably has happened among all of the coaching changes this year. Bears going from Trestman and Mel Tucker and a team that really was just lost to John Fox, who, by the way, is the first Bears coaching hire that they've made in over 50 years that involves a person with previous NFL head coaching experience.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So they have broken that trend, and I think John Fox is going to be good for them. He did not commit to Jay Cutler as his quarterback.
Of course he did. When they got rid of Trestman and they kept Cutler, that's what they made the commitment to.
Right. I think it's going to – listen, I don't think that there would be many suitors for Jay Cutler, but I think you look at Buffalo and potentially Tennessee.
The Jets.
The Jets, too. That's a good call. And I think if the Bears wanted to ship him, those teams would be interested. I just don't
Buffalo
think
doesn't
give
have
you
the
a
ammunition,
lot.
So they can't.
No one's going to get. Well, what is the ammunition? I don't think it's a first round pick. I think the Bears.
It's
got to
be something impressive. You mean because what are you telling your fan base by giving up on a quarterback who
half the fan base is ready to give up on?
Yeah, but that's the logical ones. The logical ones have to understand that finding quarterbacks that are capable of winning games. Look, this guy's been to an NFC Championship game. He's taken them to the verge of the playoffs 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you want to argue it was McCown, that's fine. But, you know, at least he was there, that game against Green Bay.
Right.
He's been successful for them more often than not. And I think if Fox can right the ship defensively, right the ship offensive line-wise, Cutler's going to be very good. So, you know, they got to just hope that Marshall stays healthy and Jeffrey continues to mature.
Gary Kubiak has moved on from Baltimore to Denver. He's the head coach there. He wouldn't commit to being the play caller, which I thought was interesting. And he wants to see how things go. And, you know, he's bringing Rick Dennison with him to be his offensive coordinator. I don't know if he'll be the one calling the plays. That's his guy. But Kubiak says he learned in Houston that if he takes on too much responsibility, just that whole workaholic mentality.
Well, I mean, yeah, he had a big health scare.
He had a big health scare on the field. So he might cool his jets on calling plays. And it sounds like with Peyton Manning, there's a report saying that he's going to take a physical, and if he passes it, he'll be back in 2015, that he'll just kind of get out of the way and let Peyton Manning kind of do his thing and not run the Kubiak type of offense, which, you know, we saw for years in Houston and then last year in Baltimore.
Look,
there's,
you know,
huge tight end involvement and lots of conservatism, except for rare moments when.
Yeah, you got to be excited Kubiak for C.J. Anderson. It. I mean,
that's huge. It's huge,
you know,
for CJ.
It's just a matter of how much Monte Ball will get in the way at this point. You know, I would assume he's going to have
Are
some.
Are you writing off Hillman?
No, well, I was going to say both guys, but Monte Ball is still somebody that at least Elway invested in. You know, so does Elway's influence on let's try and make this work with a guy we took with a second-round pick and at least play a role. You know, it wouldn't be surprising if he goes back to what his role was as a rookie, you know, where he was just a complimentary option to know Sean Moreno. But yeah, CJ Anderson should really benefit. He's a top 10 running back, you know, coming into the year with top 5 potential, as we saw last year.
Right.
The one thing that'll be huge for the Broncos and for Peyton Manning and Kubiak is they have to retain both Demaryius Thomas and Julius Thomas and find a way to make that work. Demaryius Thomas.
They're going to have to sign one of them
clearly
before franchise tags are
the
due.
Key.
Yeah, everybody seems to think that they're going to franchise Demaryius for sure if they can't come to a deal with him, and then Julius Thomas will either let go or be let go, rather, or they sign him first, but one or the other. It would be great if they got them both back.
Well, yeah, and in Kubiak's offense, whoever's the quarterback, I mean, look, it's pretty clear that Julius Thomas has put up fantasy production in any offense, or in Peyton's offense and Adam Gase's offense. Mm-hmm. In Kubiak's offense, he could really, you know, produce,
but, you know,
at a little bit more of a higher level.
I don't think that this is going to be quote-unquote Kubiak's offense.
Well, have elements.
I think it's. I don't know about that. I think Peyton will obviously lean on Kubiak and take thoughts from Kubiak, but I think Peyton's going to call everything, just like he kind of has been doing. I think Peyton is just too much of a commander on the field, and he's not going to let that go.
Yeah, again, but again, you're still taking elements of somebody who's been pretty successful, and I would imagine, look, this is Elway's guy. Mm-hmm. You know, it was his quarterback. It was his quarterback's coach. It was a guy who was his backup. You know, I can remember at the owners' meetings in Arizona the last time, so this was 2 years ago, I was walking out of the building, and Kubiak's family and Elway's family were going out to dinner together, you know, and this was when he was the Texans head coach.
Oh, yeah, they're BFFs.
Right. So it was, you know, pretty clear that he wants Kubiak to be his right-hand man in terms of Elway. So I don't think it's going to be the same, you know, Peyton Manning is strong-arming the offense and the offensive coordinator. But I don't disagree with you fully that he's going to, you know, all
I don't
of a sudden
think he's gonna, right, exactly.
To
okay, you know, Gary, what do you want me to do next? That just doesn't sound like something.
No, it'll probably be along the lines of Todd Haley and Roethlisberger, where Roethlisberger has so much control of the offense, where Haley has a little bit.
We think that's how it was. I don't know.
That's the way it looks.
I hope so. We always thought so, but Todd Haley was still acting like an offensive coordinator on the sidelines. 49ers promoted Jim Tomsula to be their head coach. I think the guy is fun and fiery, I know that we're going to be entertained by him.
Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
I think he's going to be fun. I don't know if it's going to mean and wins for San Francisco. Yeah, he might be fired in a year. Depends on how the
and Chet Baalke and the entire.
Baalke seems to be Jed York's guy. We're not getting into that. Oakland hired Jack Del Rio to be their head coach.
But the 49ers do not have an offensive coordinator yet.
Not yet.
And I would have liked to have seen Trestman go there.
To work with Kaepernick?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that would have been a good situation. It will be interesting, though, if they hire Gase. Because jobs are quickly disappearing for that guy, unfortunately, who was expected to be.
I think everybody assumes he's going to be in Chicago.
That's a fair point. But it would be interesting to see if he did go there under the assumption that he did interview for the head coaching job there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, in Chicago, it probably make most sense.
Yeah, which again just adds to the Bears haul. They're winning the offseason so far. If they go Fox, Fangio, Gase, that's a hell of a brain trust. Oakland got Jack Del Rio. They got Bill Musgrave to be their offensive coordinator. Musgrave came right out and said that Latavius Murray is a guy that he's definitely going to kind of tailor for the offense. So,
hashtag duh.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand. I think I understand why it took them so long to get Latavius Murray. I just don't know.
I remember
for sure.
Sitting there with Dennis Allen at the owner's meeting saying, asking about Latavius Murray, and he was, leaning on the health card, which, you could play that angle. But they wasted money on bringing in Maurice Jones-Drew. Wasted. Or re-signing Darren McFadden.
Both were wasted.
Well, I mean, look, it's not a bad situation to have at least one veteran guy there.
But both of them,
when you had this guy who clearly proved that he can be somewhat of a dynamic talent.
Yeah, as of now, I think you just have to look at Latavius Murray as being that guy. And he's one of these candidates for 15-plus touches a week, goal line work. What round are you looking at for Latavius Murray right
now?
I was going to say round five, but maybe round four is where he ends up being if he keeps that job and if he looks good and all the reports are good out of training camp. Sure, I'll buy into that too. Musgrave, FYI, was the offensive coordinator of the Vikings when Adrian Peterson had his 2,000-yard rushing season.
There's somebody else he coached, McCoy, right? He coached McCoy in Philadelphia.
Did he?
Believe so.
I thought he was just the quarterback's coach and not an all.
He's on the offensive staff.
But if you're the quarterback's coach, it's not like you're doing a lot of big things. I'll look into that. We can talk about that later. Jack Del Rio definitely mentioned Derek Carr, by the way, as his quarterback. I think Oakland finally has their guy.
They needed to get Amari Cooper.
Yeah, that would be great. If they got Amari Cooper, that offense could be kind of fun. With Carr, Cooper,
there.
And Latavius Murray, the offensive line isn't that far off. They could probably use another tackle, probably two new tackles. Todd Bowles is your new head coach in New York. Chan Gailey is the offensive coordinator. Jamie, I'm going to call a shot right now. The number one running back for the New York Jets in 2015 will be?
C.J. Spiller.
Why are you stealing my thunder
Because Spiller said it himself.
Yeah. Fine. Yeah.
And I like that he said that.
I do too.
I love his quote. I'd be stupid not to consider looking at the Jets.
Right. So I would like to see that. I know that Spiller's going to be kind of a nerve-wracking pick for fantasy owners, but if you get him at a good value, I think it'd be fine. I could see him and Chris Ivory splitting the load with Spiller certainly getting more work.
Chris Johnson not coming back to the Jets?
Not at a $3.5 million salary, he's not. Chan Gailey's offenses, by the way, haven't been good in a very long time.
But he was, I think you got to consider him one of the initial innovators in offensive play calling when he first got play calling duties. I mean, he, did some creative things with Kansas City. At times he had some interesting things with Buffalo. He just was hamstrung by quarterback situation,
which
he will be again here.
I think he's a good judge of running back talent. Maybe not even a great judge. And the reason why I say that is he was responsible for drafting C.J. Spiller, which, I mean, everybody could see that Spiller was a great talent coming out. He kind of reached for him in the draft. But he also drafted Jamaal Charles. He was the guy that banged the table in Kansas City for Jamaal Charles. And I remember talking to him about that way back when, and that he was just in love with Jamaal Charles' speed. Rex Ryan is a Bill. Greg Roman's his offensive coordinator. To me, that's the most boring offensive coordinator hire. There were one of them. We'll see what San Francisco does, and then we know what Jacksonville and Cleveland do.
No, Cleveland's pretty bad.
Cleveland is interesting. I don't know if it's necessarily pretty bad. But Greg Roman is going to play it safe. He's always leaned on running the ball. At least that was the doctrine in San Francisco. And what's Rex Ryan known for? The ground and the pound. And they don't have a quarterback right now. Nope. EJ Manuel is as good as it gets for them on their roster.
I wonder what other options Rex had.
My guess is he didn't have a lot of other options. I mean, I know he interviewed in Atlanta and San Francisco, mm-hmm. and I would imagine that any coach would rather go to those two places than Buffalo. I think Buffalo just put a lot of money on the table and Buffalo said, these jobs here now.
Paid them much, but if he could have gone to Atlanta, I mean...
I'd love it.
Atlanta's the easiest place to win right now.
Right. Well, that's why Dan Quinn's going to end up there.
Yes.
They probably had their pick of all these coaches, and they said to Rex, we like Dan Quinn better than you, Rexy, so go get your Welcome help. Rex pizza in Buffalo.
The Bills DST, which was actually the number one unit last
they
year.
They were the number one, yeah.
And they will be number one again.
They're going to
be
good.
In the mix for the top three again. Excuse me.
I'm in the middle of reading Collision Low Crossers, which is the book about a year with the New York Jets. So I'm getting all sorts of great visuals about Rex Ryan and Mike Pettine and all the other assistants that were with the Jets. And Mike Tannenbaum is all over that book, too. Kind of getting some cool insights into Rex Ryan. He just seems like he is just this great gregarious guy that he comes off as. And I don't know who the running back is going to be in Buffalo. It might end up being – Bryce Brown might end up being in that mix.
He has to be. I mean, it'll be Jackson and Brown.
Yeah, I don't know if Jackson will be there.
They extended him, so I mean,
they did, but they
to...
could cut him and just take a cap charge.
But why would they? He's not expensive. He's a good presence for them. He's still productive. He doesn't have to be a featured guy. Catch the ball in the backfield, gives you good quarterback protection. I think any team would take him.
Let me see what the cap hit was on him. Do I have the cap hit on him? Can I borrow a feeling? If they cut him before June 1st, they save $2.6 million. I don't know if they need that $2.6 million. I don't know their cap situation off the top of my head. I'm just telling you what I read right now.
If you're the Bills, would you rather have Jackson at $2.6 million or sign C.J. Spiller?
I don't want to sign C.J. Spiller. I'll tell you what. If I can sign C.J. Spiller for less than $2.6 million,
who do you take at $2.6 million?
If I've got to take one of those two at $2.6 million, I think it would be Spiller. He's younger.
But you have Bryce Brown, who's basically the same type of guy.
That's fine. Interchangeable running backs with Booby Dixon going 2.5 yards per carry.
I'll take Jackson. Way.
Interesting. You're going with the old man.
Well, for what he does.
You're saying that those guys can't do that? Spiller could definitely do a lot of what Fred Jackson did.
I don't think he's anywhere close to him as a pass protector, and I don't know if he's as good a receiver out of the backfield.
The fact that we haven't seen it from him might
he's
be
more dynamic. I mean, I'm not going to argue that with you, right. But I think from a safety standpoint, for what look, think about what Rex Ryan did. Thomas Jones got him to...
Two AFC
title games.
Right. And he was a do-it-all type of back.
And old.
Who could pass protect. Yeah. Maybe you're right. Maybe Fred Jackson does end up staying there. But I wouldn't want to draft him. That would scare me.
No, but he's also...
This is like a late pick.
He's also... I mean, we see these guys all the time. Mm-hmm. All the time. I don't want to draft him. And then Ahmad Bradshaw for 7-8 games is amazing.
Right.
And Fred Jackson for 7-8 games is fantastic. It'll be the same thing with one or two of these guys.
When you paint him that way, that's fine. But a guy... He was one of... I think there were like 15 running backs that had 1,000 total yards last year. He was one of them, and he's probably the least desirable by a lot.
There's no reason you should walk into your draft and saying, I'm taking Fred Jackson.
No, he's a guy that you fall into in round 10.
Yeah, if he's a guy that sits on the bench for 5 or 6 games, and all of a sudden it's just a week-to-week of...
C.J. Spiller will get drafted ahead of Fred Jackson.
He should.
Okay. Mark Trestman in Baltimore. He had a conference call with the media on Wednesday. He is going to learn the Ravens' current playbook. He will not bring his playbook.
Upgrade or downgrade from Kubiak?
I'm going to say upgrade.
I'm going to say downgrade significantly.
How come?
Because I think he needs to have these big playmaking type of players mm-hmm. for his offense to work. I don't think he has that. I don't think Justin Forsett's going to be overdrafted and is going to be a bust because he's getting older.
You're assuming he's going to be back with Baltimore. He's
a free
agent.
They'd be dumb not to bring him back.
But they've got to bring somebody else in. Even with Lorenzo Telefair.
Yeah, I mean...
I think they've got to have another running back in there. And I tried to ask Trestman about it on the conference call. And he hadn't seen any of the film yet. He had no idea. But all he said was, it's easier if I learn the offense rather than trying to teach the offense.
It's just disaster written all over it.
You really think it's going to be that bad?
Why would he, if you're hired to be the offensive coordinator, basically all you're doing is it's the same thing with Flacco's going to be Peyton Manning and Roethlisberger. Mm-hmm. He's going to run the show. What's the point?
Yeah, it's a good call.
They have to make a decision on Steve Smith and what they're going to do with him. Torrey Smith is
a free
agent.
They could always draft somebody. They don't have the two big receivers like he had in Chicago.
Torrey Smith is a free agent. They have to make a decision on him.
Mm-hmm.
They have to find out. I know you asked about Pitta, too, with Harbaugh.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good.
So
there's going to be a lot of changes. I don't think it'll be as – let's put it this way. It's not going to be like the Chicago offense of 2013 in the first half of 2014. It could be – I think it could be better for the running backs. And Flacco stays about where he's been, which is what Flacco's always been, which is like 3,600 passing yards.
Good game, bad game.
The occasional good game and a headache for people.
And great in the postseason.
And amazing in the postseason. Although, who knows if they even make the postseason if Trestman's their offensive coordinator. Greg Olson is your new offensive coordinator in Jacksonville. He is one of two Oakland Raiders offensive coaches that are now offensive coordinators. The Raiders ranked dead last in total yards of offense.
Amazing.
Last year. I don't know how this happens. Greg Olson gets jobs like high-level tech executives that just move on from job to job to job. You know any of those people?
One.
Okay. Well, he's that guy for them. Just continues to find work and call plays, and his offenses have never really succeeded. I think it's very uninspiring for Jacksonville, but he does inherit a young quarterback who can take some steps this offseason. And some good receivers, and probably a breakout in there somewhere between Allen Robinson, Marquise Lee, Allen Hurns. Who knows if Justin Blackman's back. The offensive line is going to get a boost during the offseason. They'll add somebody in free agency. They'll add somebody in the draft. Maybe it works out. Maybe Greg Olson has a pretty decent year putting things together for Jacksonville. But I don't know how excited I am about drafting any of these guys. This definitely doesn't help. You know, like Gary Kubiak going to Denver, okay, now I feel a lot better about C.J. Anderson. Whereas before, Denver running back, you just don't know. Look at Monte Ball this year. Now at least I feel a little bit better. I don't feel anything with Greg Olson in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I mean, I think you said it best. There's not a lot of, like, you're going to draft several of these guys because, you know, Robinson and Lee and potentially Blackman, potentially. Cecil Shorts is a free agent, right?
I believe so.
But Denard Robinson will get drafted.
That's a guy who could go to Green Bay and replace Randall Cobb.
Maybe.
Cecil Shorts.
Maybe.
Could be interesting.
Robinson will get drafted.
Mm-hmm.
Presumably as a
but
third
these are
back.
Late round. Oh yeah. No, Denard Robinson will go before the late rounds.
Yeah.
Assuming they don't bring in.
And Bortles players. Will be drafted as a number two quarterback, assuming he doesn't fall all in his face in the preseason.
I was about to joke about Toby Gerhardt. I can't bring myself to do it. The Browns hired former Raiders quarterback coach John DeFilippo. I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly.
None.
He's their new offensive coordinator.
Never been a coordinator before. Was a quarterback's coach last year for Derek
Yeah,
Carr.
So I guess that was appealing to them. This is
he's got a history with Pettin.
Right. I don't know if I really like this either.
I mean, it's so funny because you looked at the Browns after the draft last year and the whole Gordon, day one of the draft, before Gordon was suspended
on day two.
Or the news came out on day two.
Right.
There was so much optimism.
Yeah.
So much optimism because they drafted Manziel. They had Gordon. Cameron was coming back healthy. And now
they had signed Ben Tate at running back, and they had Kyle Shanahan as their offensive coordinator.
And now it's like they don't have a quarterback that
they trust.
Excites you.
Right.
Or
they're not going to get one.
Better is that
free agency is bare.
Right. They almost have to bring back Hoyer at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Gordon may be cut. Cameron's hard to trust. And now you have an offensive coordinator.
Cameron's a free agent too.
Even worse. So now you have a coordinator that you don't know anything about. I mean, there's not one Browns player I can think of outside of Isaiah Crowell and Terrence West, who are still appealing.
Just because they're running backs and one of them might break into a big-time role.
Yeah, I mean,
I've got Crowell higher than West.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, but I think there's upside for both. Because what else could they do? I mean, Patton comes from Rex Ryan's tree. So run and play defense.
Yeah. Dirk Cutter, your new offensive coordinator in Tampa Bay.
Leaves can't be
Atlanta.
Worse.
Yeah. He seems to like Mike Glennon. I wonder if Glennon will get another opportunity in training camp with Cutter there. But Cutter has a track record in Jacksonville. I don't think the offenses were great with him. And then in Atlanta, I mean, look what he was working with 2 years ago. Matt Ryan was behind a bad offensive line. Julio Jones got hurt. Ryan still had a pretty good year, all things considered.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year, the offense was good, but the offensive line broke down and the defense was tough, and it forced them to, you know, stink. So I'd like to give Cutter the benefit of the doubt. I don't know whether or not Vincent Jackson will truly be back there. But Evans is there. Austin Seferian Jenkins is a tight end that I like a lot. One problem, Dirk Cutter doesn't have a good track record with tight ends.
Well, Gonzalez.
Yeah, I guess. And then, so he's got Gonzalez, and I think Mercedes Lewis's big year came with Cutter, too. I'd have to check on that. So maybe I'm wrong on that. Some other news and notes. The Star Ledger reports that the Eagles will move up from number 20 in the draft.
Atlanta did get Kyle Shanahan already. They hired him.
They did?
Mm.
Okay. And what do you think that means?
Well, I think it's good. I mean, you know, they have, it's pretty clear cut that Dan Quinn's going to run the defense and Kyle Shanahan will run the offense, and you know, now you have a situation in place where Matt Ryan has a capable coordinator. Shanahan's had some good offenses without good quarterbacks, and now he's got a great quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Julio and Roddy, the running back is the biggest issue because I don't think they
can save office, money by cutting Steven Jackson.
Well, he's gone. I mean, but is the starter on the roster? Because I don't think Devontae Freeman's a starter. Jacquizz Rodgers is not a starter. So this is a team that could also spend a draft pick on a running back. Not an early pick, but a later pick.
They could do that. I think they have so many needs that they can let running back slide a little bit because they've got Freeman. They can re-sign Jacquizz Rodgers.
Sure. And you wonder
if they kind of get by with just guys.
You wonder if Quinn has the Gus Bradley effect where Seattle guys that are free agents follow him to Atlanta.
Defensive guys, potentially. That's what I
mean. Yeah.
I'm not sure how many guys there actually are that fit that role, though. I'm not sure.
Well, it doesn't have to be starters. I mean, it could be backups that are ready to emerge.
Right.
Their defense will be better, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. I don't worry about that because they're still quality playmakers. They just couldn't make it work.
Jamie, if the Eagles moved up and drafted Marcus Mariota, as the New York Star Ledger reports,
mm-hmm.
would you even consider drafting Mariota in a standard scoring league?
If I liked my team, I'd take a flyer on, I'm sure.
With a late-round pick.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I'm with you on that, just because of the offense and the system.
There will be people who think he's the next RG3 or Luck, like we saw a few years ago, the last time we saw, you know, great rookie mm-hmm. fantasy quarterbacks. But he would have to prove a lot, by the way.
He would have to do a lot of big things in order to get there. And then, this is in the notes as well, Adrian Peterson may not be back with the Vikings.
Really?
Big shockeroo. He would save them $13 million of salary cap space if he were to be released.
I wouldn't be surprised if they restructured it. You know, if the sides come to some sort of an agreement of he says, I want to finish my career here. I want to still be the face of the franchise. Let's make this work. And they say, okay, but you got to come back at a lesser price. Now, I do think he's going to weigh his options. And he is the biggest domino to fall if Murray and Lynch leave those respective teams.
Mm-hmm.
Because he could look at Seattle and say, they're obviously a Super Bowl contender, whether they win or not.
Mm-hmm.
And Dallas is his hometown, and they have arguably the best offensive line in the NFL.
What kind of money do you think he could fetch?
Nothing. I mean, no. First off,
$5 million, $4 million.
I wouldn't pay him that. I'd go cheap and draft somebody. I mean, why would Jerry
could end up paying him something like
Jerry
that.
Would probably be the one who pays him the
four
most.
$4 million.
Yeah,
which is what he offered to DeMarco Murray.
Which is just insane. I think
insane meaning it's too much.
No, I mean it's just unfair that Murray has this, you know,
has this
MVP
and,
type season and he can't get
here's
anything.
$4 million a year.
And if there is a team that's going to pay him, it's going to probably be Dallas.
Right.
Baltimore's an interesting landing spot for Peterson, but I doubt they would do that.
I doubt it with
the Rice scenario.
Right.
Where else?
How about Buffalo?
Buffalo would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo would be
interesting. If they send Fred Jackson packing and CJ Spiller's a free agent, that's a team that's looking for a running back. How about Atlanta?
That'd be a smart move on his part.
Yeah.
Play on turf again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great quarterback.
I think that'd be great.
And that's a small enough – well, it's not a small market. Well, a small enough market, I guess, that they take the media hit.
Yeah. And I think that that would help re-bolster the offense, which is what they were looking for when they got Steven Jackson in the first place.
Sure.
That would stink for me because I am a Devontae Freeman fan. A trivia question was sent in from Joel in Boulder, Colorado. Name the top five tight end this season that does not have the letter G anywhere in his name. Silence.
Well, Martellus Bennett.
Is it Martellus Bennett? I think it's Martellus Bennett. The answer is Martellus Bennett. Well done.
So it was Gronkowski Gates, was Gronk, one. Graham.
Gates two. Graham three. Greg Olson four. Yep. There is no G in Martellus Bennett. Well done, Jamie. There's more emails like that. Should I read them?
Sure.
From Walter, dear Charlie, Snoopy, and Woodstock, I'm the commissioner of a 12-man league looking to spice it up next season for our fifth year. Got any pros and cons of an auction draft and free agent bidding instead of waivers? I love it that way. Auctions to me are fun.
Auction draft and free agent.
And then you do FAAB. Yep. Right. I love that. And I think that that's a great way to do it, Walter. The auction draft takes a little longer than your standard snake draft. Gives everybody an opportunity at every player. It's fun. There's so many different ways you can build a team. And you can really build your team the way you want to. Mm-hmm. It can be done online. You can do it on CBSSports.com. But it's even better when you've got everybody in the room and you can kind of play mind games with people and bid up players. Sometimes you get caught doing that. That's happened to me before. But it's fun. And then I think FAB, which is free agent acquisition budget, is way better than waivers. Waivers certainly rewards the teams that either are losing or wait and wait and wait to make a move, depending on your league, doesn't reset waivers. Right. But FAB, the person in your league who wants a player the most proves it with a bid on the player, and then the highest bid gets the player each week, whichever player it may be. And it's rather gratifying when you steal a player for a buck or two, and you can help your team immensely by dropping a ton of your FAB budget on one or two players that you really need. CJ Anderson was that guy for me in one league this year.
My favorite is FAB the first night, Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. And then free-for-all.
That's interesting.
Because then it puts the priority on, if you want to get the guy you want, you spend for him. But then everybody has an open shot to get the second time around.
Yeah, that's not bad either. I don't mind FAB, the traditional FAB way, because usually once there's a cycle of FAB and everybody cherry-picks their players, everybody that's left can be had for a dollar anyway. So it's almost the same thing as what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because very rarely...
Well, I think it should be zero bids.
Oh, okay. So you can make a bid for $0.
Yeah, yeah. Same thing.
Or you can just give out a lot of FAB dollars and then make it a dollar per a minimum bid of a dollar. And then you might get screwed if you run out of money. Here's an email from Dan from a city of four in the Midwest. A city of four in the Midwest. Do you know what that means?
Four letters?
I don't know. A city of four, like Quad City, maybe? Maybe that's what he means, is Quad City in Illinois. I'm in a 10-team keeper league where I have the option to keep two of the following players. The players I choose to keep, I will lose the pick in the round that they were drafted in. I am only allowed to keep one player per round. So which of these two should he go with? Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Lacy for a first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Adrian Peterson for a first-round pick. Throw that out. Marshawn Lynch for a second-round pick. Antonio Brown for a third-round pick. Arian Foster for a fourth-round pick. Gronk for a fourth-round pick.
Okay, so which is the second player we're determining?
Randall Cobb for a fifth-round pick.
Uh-huh.
Josh Gordon for a 14th-round pick. Odell Beckham for a 10th-round pick.
It's Gronk and Beckham.
I think it's Gronk and Beckham all the way.
Although Brown in the third round is intriguing, too.
Yeah.
But the value is better for the other
You should be able to draft a running back early on.
You just go running back early.
Dear Bubba Ray, Devon, and Spike, that's from Sean in Boston. Jamie, I'll give you a shot at trying to figure out what that one is.
Tell me again.
Bubba Ray, Devon, and Spike.
Wrestlers?
Wrestlers, you got it. The Dudley Boys.
Hmm.
I'm in two leagues with one keeper each and could use a hand figuring out value. He's in a half-point PPR. He's picking seventh next year. He can pick Forte for a first-rounder, Antonio Brown for a third-rounder, or Odell Beckham for a 16th rounder? His question is Beckham absolutely worth it over Forte and Antonio Brown? I would say yes. And then you can go back in your draft and get Forte with your first round pick. I think
probably
he's got
not with
a chance.
Keepers though.
Yeah, maybe you're right. You know, I was originally looking at, and it's a half point PPR too, so maybe Forte goes, but there should be a running back of decent.
You take Brown, and then you have your two receivers.
And then you just go and you scour for running backs yeah. later on. Yeah, that's something that's not bad as well. Last email from Ewan in London. Mikey, Brand, and Chunk.
That's from Goonies.
I wanted to pick up on Zach's email you read out on last Tuesday's show.
That was a few weeks ago.
Yes. So this email must be a few weeks old. I apologize, Ewan. I'm not convinced that his argument about taking stud wide receivers is all that effective. And with a number of top wide receivers stumbling this year, I would say it was pretty much a crapshoot at the position. You are generally much better off drafting three top running backs with your first three picks because, A, running backs are more scarce, so they have more value. B, they are very easy handcuffs to select in most cases to hedge yourself against bad things happening. I would define a top running back as one who is as close as possible to being guaranteed 20 touches per game, which is what we've been saying all along, so we agree. The trading strategy Zach mentions is a good one, but you can generally get much more value for a stud running back than you can a stud wide receiver. There are also much deeper options on the waiver wire at wide receiver in a given year than running backs. Just thought it was worth adding to the debate. So I'm gonna pose it to you this way, Jamie. Your draft strategy for 2015, which, of course, you're allowed to amend as we roll along. 2015 just started. How much of your focus is going to be on taking running backs with your early round picks?
Well, still very high. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really haven't deviated from my draft strategy since I've been playing this game, which is if I can get two stud receivers early, I'll still try and do it. But I want to get two of those guys with hopefully getting still a great running back. It's more challenging now. So I think if you can get two, you know, running backs that are of, you know, great quality, and you may have to gamble on one of them, you know, like last year it was Le'Veon to a certain extent and Foster, you mm-hmm. know, with where they fell in the draft.
Right. There were other gambles there too.
So no, I'm just saying that the two that paid off, if you probably took them in the first 25 to 30 picks.
Okay.
Because that's, you know, those two guys were toward the middle to tail end of that. But look, we had a really strange year with injuries. There were usually wide receivers are slam dunks because the severity of their injuries aren't as bad as running backs. And when you have, you know, AJ Green and what he dealt with, Calvin Johnson and his struggles, I mean, we've talked about this ad nauseum, mm-hmm. that it was kind of unprecedented, and especially like some of the slower starts or the stretches that they went through where they didn't produce like Julio Jones. So I think, you know, getting two stud receivers is certainly something that can help your team, but that position is so deep. I mean,
it's deeper now than it's been since I can remember.
Well, it just continues to get deeper. I mean, that's right. the every year there's more and more talent.
But I mean, we really got helped by the rookie wide receivers last year, who are all going to be back in 2015.
Sure,
and certainly have potential to do better than they did their rookie season,
or fail. I mean, look, there's going to be a couple guys that fall off. You know, I think that's why we're getting questions about Odell Beckham. Is it really worth taking a gamble? We obviously say yes because of the value, but you're passing up the Forte Brown Beckham comparison. You know, Forte is as close to slam dunk at the running back position you could find. Mm-hmm. Antonio Brown is proven for the last
unbelievably
you know,
consistent.
Right, the last 28 to 30 games that he's been yep. the best receiver in football, and
a little less than that, but yeah.
You know, I mean, you get my point.
I'd ballpark it at like 22.
Okay. Whatever the case may be. Right. Year and a half, he's been amazing.
He's been amazing.
So you look at him and you know what you're getting, mm-hmm. whereas Beckham, there is, you know, we don't expect it to be a fall off, but there is the Cruz coming back, more game, more tape on him, more opportunities for him to face tougher opponents, tougher coverage. We don't expect him to falter, but he could. Benjamin could struggle. You know, you look at some of these guys. There could be Mike Evans, you know, new coordinator, potentially new quarterback. You know, there's a lot of situations. Sure. You look at these guys and say that they could struggle. But the point is it's so deep, and we hope that there's an influx. We didn't have it this year from the rookie running backs. But we hope next year, you know, the Melvin Gordons of the
right.
world and
it's
all those guys.
It's a much better crop this year
can,
than last
can
year.
Really help.
And there's good rookie receivers coming into the league this year, too.
Yeah, and also we'll start to see some of these older running backs get pushed aside even more.
Just like old wide receivers,
right,
too.
Carlos Hyde. You know, ideally, we get Marshawn Lynch getting cut, and he goes somewhere where he can be a featured guy, mm-hmm. and Kristen Michael steps into that role. Carlos Hyde steps into the role in San Francisco, and we get better opportunities for those guys. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see for sure. And I agree with you. I just think that you can wait on wide receiver this season.
I asked.
You can wait on quarterback too.
I told people we were going to do our podcast today, so I said if any tweets, I'll read them.
You got some? Yeah, go for it.
There's a bunch, but we'll do it quickly. Is LeSean McCoy a top five first round pick from Pete Farmer?
No, not for me. He could be a late first round pick, but I'd feel far more comfortable taking him in round two.
Yeah, he won't be there in round two. I don't think so.
But it's also contingent on who's in the running back group with him in Philadelphia.
If Peyton Manning retires, which we don't expect it to, but let's say if he doesn't like the results of
right.
the physical,
okay,
where is C.J. Anderson's value?
I don't think it's that bad because it's Gary Kubiak. And listen, if Peyton retires, then everything that we've talked about with the Denver offense changes. Kubiak can take on more of a play-calling role. And I think that he'll lean on the run, and I think that that will help C.J. Anderson. You just look at the track record of running
backs. He's still a top 15 running back with or without Peyton Manning.
Top 15 running back? He's higher than that with or without Peyton Manning.
If Peyton Manning's not there, you still call him top 15 guy?
Yes.
I don't know if I'm there with you.
Yeah.
If Josh Gordon comes back to Cleveland, where are you drafting him?
Where do I have him in my tiers? I was going to say round 6 to round 7. Somewhere in there. Depends Fair. On who the quarterback is. But so, there's enough upside still. I don't know if I really love the offensive coordinator there now. But he should be in better shape next year and ready to go. So I might take a chance on him in round 6.
Where does Ahmad Bradshaw end up next year? We talked about that. I think that's Indianapolis.
He'll probably start in Indianapolis in training camp.
You kind of indicated how you would go with this route. But if you don't draft Rob Gronkowski or Jimmy Graham, would you just stream tight ends on a week-to-week basis?
Yeah, I would probably begin my year with one of the young tight ends, unless I got a good value on a tight end who is fairly established and has some potential. Somebody like Martellus Bennett, Gates, Witten, one of those guys. But otherwise, I might as well just go for broke and take one of the young tight ends and hope to catch lightning in a bottle.
What's the best team for Randall Cobb if he doesn't go to the Packers? And this is from Jack LaBelle. He asked about Carolina.
Carolina would be very good for him. And I believe they've got the cap space. That would definitely help Cam a lot. And that would make that offense more dangerous. Sure, I'll go with that.
That'd be the best bet?
Well, I mean, I would love to see him in Indianapolis. I don't know what... You know, if you want me to go look real quick and see who's got the most cap money available. But in a dream world, if he couldn't be in Green Bay, I'd love to see him in Indianapolis. I know they could use a receiver there.
Brett Schiller wants to know, in a two-quarterback league, he's keeping Romo. Would you also keep Eli Manning? And what's your outlook for him for 2020?
I love Eli.
I think he's top 12 quarterback.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too.
How much would you, from Micah Johnson, how much would you hate the commissioner for shutting down a keeper league where you have Gronk, Odell Beckham, DeMarco Murray, and Julio Jones?
I would ask the commissioner if he would let me be the commissioner, and yeah. I would try and keep the league going.
Ask the 10 other people in your league if they still want to do it.
Right.
Find another
Don't
12.
Bring up your keepers and how good your team
Find
is.
Another 12 and keep
yeah.
it going.
Yeah, keep the league going even without that guy.
What happens to, this is from John Paradise. What happens to Sammy Watkins if it's EJ Manuel quarterback?
It'll be gross, but there will be some good moments. He'll probably be one of those receivers that's 5 points. He'll be a lot like he was as a rookie. 5 points 1 week, 17 the next, 3 the next, 8 the next, 6 the next. Here's 22. Just kind of a boomer bust receiver.
From Matt Massat, I already know that I have the 7th pick next year. I'm thinking Matt Forte, Antonio Brown, or Dez Bryant. Who would you take?
Forte.
I would agree.
And Bryant would be next.
And let's see. All right. One more tweet.
The last tweet.
From Skylar Aitken, I think it is.
Okay.
Not that I want Adam to leave, but I was ready to replace him. My qualifications are I'm hairy, I love milk, and I'm a cat lover.
Awesome. For the record, I don't know if Adam was a milk lover. We just called him D DJ Milk.
Yes.
But you don't have to worry about that because Adam will be back. And if you've got a fantasy question that you'd like to have answered on the podcast, this is the time of year to do it. We can get to every single one of them. FantasyFootball@CBSi.com. That's the letter I. And if you follow us on Twitter, try CBS Fantasy. They usually link to us. You'll see our Twitter handles on there. Maybe you're new. Maybe you were listening to another podcast and you lost your league. You're looking for something to give you an edge in 2015. You've come to the right place. We've helped a lot of people compete in their leagues, and we are going to work hard to keep it that way. Jamie, thank you for your hard work this week, and we will talk to you next week on the Fantasy Football Today podcast. Thanks for coming out.
Bye.